Before we get into the message this morning, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to use this to kind of open up the service this morning to think about what Paul was saying here in chapter 1. Begin reading at verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, talking about Jesus Christ, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. May we pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, as we bow before You this morning, may You open up the Scriptures to our minds, and may we sit in heavenly places for a while in Jesus Christ as we meditate upon His greatness and the goodness of the Lord. Open up our hearts now to receive the engrafted Word, which is able to build us up in the faith. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. As you read the Word of God, as you study the Word of God, it's so vast, so rich, and so full. I can remember when I was around Carl's age, just a young man, started reading the Scriptures. I knew nothing of the Scriptures, nothing. 20 years old, and I started reading, and boy, this was a big, when I first started reading, I said, wow. I started in, I think, Genesis, and then I found it was so difficult going through the Old Testament. I went to the New Testament, and I found out that it was about as difficult as the Old Testament. Here I was, knew nothing of nothing, never went to church. But as I look back on that, as I look at what God has revealed to me through the years, I'm just beginning to now to grasp some of the greatness of God's Word. How wonderful it is, how marvelous God is. As it says in this verse, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, manifestation of God's Word to us in the knowledge of Him. This is what it's all about. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Scriptures, there's judgments in the Scriptures. We speak about different judgments. The one this morning is the greatest of all, as we're going to look into one judgment that affects everyone in this room this morning. And the one previous to that affects all of us. If you've read the Word of God, you know that in Genesis, we have the fall of Adam and Eve. And Paul speaks in Romans that for by one man sin entered into the world, for all sinned in Adam. We're all born into this world guilty before God, all of us. There's no such thing as an innocent baby. You say, how could that be? Because we all sinned in Adam. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God says in the book of Romans, for by one man sin entered into the world, and by one man disobedience, we are all under condemnation. So if you were without Christ this morning, if we've never come to the place in your life where Christ manifests Himself to you, you must realize you're under condemnation because of our race union with Adam, who is the representative of the human race. Condemned in Adam, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's good news this morning. And that's why we're here preaching, to bring you the good news. The gospel means good news. Now, to lay the foundation, I'm going to show you the positive side and then show you the reason why. In John 5:24, it says, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. You say, how can I know if I have everlasting life? Are you a believer? That's simple. Have you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ? That is the evidence of being a child of God, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And shall not come to condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Because you are a believer, you will never face condemnation. Now, there's a reason why, and we'll get into that later. The next verse we're going to look at is John chapter 10. Begin reading with verse 27. My sheep, the Lord says, hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Christ is saying, my sheep hear my voice. Now I believe he speaks through the Word of God to our souls and to our hearts. I'm not going to get into regeneration and conversion this morning, but we know that unless God changes an individual, he'll never believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as we remain in darkness and remain in trespass, dead in trespasses and sins, we'll never seek after God. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? We're going to see the reason why in a few moments. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul says, but we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That verse is just so full of truth and full of messages to our souls, but we're called the beloved of the Lord. Beloved. God chose us from the beginning to what? To salvation. Who chooses a person to salvation? God does. Not the preacher. I don't choose anyone to salvation. Our responsibility is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. God is the one who saves his people from their sins. And the great verse that we all encourage ourselves with is in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why is it so true that there's no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus? It's because of judgment. Of judgment. And before we get to that, I want to show you the foundation of salvation. As I quoted earlier, Romans 5:17 says, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Every individual in the world are born under condemnation, in need of salvation, Brother Dave. No exceptions. There's only one man who lived a perfect life, and that was the man Christ Jesus. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Here is the foundation of forgiveness. Here is the manifestation of our grace. Brother Dave spoke on grace last week. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The reason there's no condemnation to you and I as believers, the reason that we pass from death unto life, the reason that we have not been appointed to wrath, is because of the one person, Jesus Christ, bearing our sins in his body on the tree. He bore our judgment. Substitute. He was our substitute. There that is sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. He goes on to say in Romans chapter 3:22, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Believing is important. Are you a believer this morning? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? For there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely. Now that word freely means without cause. There's no cause in you and I. Nothing did God see in you and I but sin, evil, wickedness, ungodly. Being justified without cause freely by his grace, notice this, through the redemption. You can't separate grace from redemption, Brother Dave. Grace provided the Savior. Grace brought the God-man into this world to be our substitute. That's the good news, Roger. We have a substitute. There is someone who loved us, beloved of God, so much he became man and was manifested in flesh, and he came to be our substitute, to die, to bear our sins in his body on the tree, as we're going to see as we get more into the message. It says, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption is only in the person of Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Propitiation. In his suffering as a sacrifice and shedding his blood and giving his life, he pacified the lawgiver and his justice, which is God the Father. We had broken God's command. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, was told to Adam. And when he ate, the whole human race died in him. Eternal separation from God. Judgment became upon. That's why all have sinned and come short or fall short of the glory of God. We all sinned in Adam, beloved, but thank God the good news is, yes, every person is born under condemnation, yes, but Jesus came into the world to bear the sins of many in his body on the tree. That's the good news. That's the good news. Propitiation means to pacify judicial wrath of God. That's why you and I would never come under the wrath of God. Why? There's no goodness in us. Because we have a substitute who bore our sins in his body at Calvary. He was judged. He suffered. Not for his sins. He had no sins. But for our sins. Oh, beloved, how grateful we should be that we have such a Savior. He propitiated the wrath, which was our damnation. Saved from wrath through him. He delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh, beloved, when you think of the hour and the day when God comes in his glory and his power to judge the world, and there's going to be the judgments of God, the great white throne judgment, and the judgment, the separation from the sheep, from the goat nations. And when these judgments come, oh, how grateful we'll be if we're one of those who can say, thank you, Lord, for dying as my substitute. As the hymn writer says, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. I cling to the atonement of Jesus Christ, my sacrifice, my sacrifice. And I want to read another verse to you before I go into the message here. 2 Corinthians. Great truth taught here. Now for your understanding these things is what Paul is praying about in 1 Ephesians chapter 1, that God would give you the wisdom and understanding and enlighten your mind in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. These are the things Paul was praying they could come to understand and get a vision of and see the greatness and the love of God, the grace of God in the death of Christ on Calvary. Notice what he says in 2 Corinthians verse 19, the word wit means to know, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ did be you reconciled to God, for he had made him to be sin for us. Notice that. For he made him to be sin for us by imputing our sins to Jesus Christ. Only by imputation. Who knew no sin, he was sinless, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, hallelujah. God imputed all our sins to our substitute. Like the scapegoat. They laid their hands on the scapegoat and went out in the wilderness. That was the type of Christ. beloved, when he bore our sins in his body on the tree. And to get more understanding of that, if you read with a few verses I'm going to bring up unto you, the God's judgment upon sin at the cross. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That means to crush him in the Hebrew. And he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he not only suffered in his body, but his soul, the pain. And you can understand something of soul pain is when you're so hurting so much because of someone that you love being sick or dying with cancer, that hurt within, or when your children are going the wrong way in life and you're hurting in your heart and soul because they're traveling the wrong path. Think that a million times more, Christ suffered in his soul on our behalf. He poured out his soul unto death because he loved us, beloved. And it says, and he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Oh, beloved, thank God for our substitute. Remember when Philip met the eunuch, and he was reading Isaiah, and he said, is he talking about himself or unto another? And it says, Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him who? Jesus. Jesus. Isaiah 53 is all about Jesus Christ. The judge of God acting in righteousness, Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth as a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness that he might be just and justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Beloved, when we cast our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, his righteousness is imputed to us in our consciousness, and we come to the awareness that our sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. What a blessing that is to have that revealed to you in time, that the Lord's righteousness is your righteousness. He's a substitute. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body. Look at the personal. Peter is bringing this right down to our lives that we can understand it. Jesus, his own self, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Oh, why are we healed today, beloved? Why are we forgiven? Because of his righteousness. Why does God forgive you and I? Because of the righteousness of his Son, bore our sins in his body on the tree. Grace. Grace provided the Savior. Grace brought salvation down to earth in the incarnation of the Son of God. Grace gave Jesus the will to go to the cross to save his people. Grace. By grace, he bore our sins in his body on the tree. He was not obligated to die for us because of anything within us. If we got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell. But because of his everlasting love to vessels of mercy, Jesus came to redeem and to save his people from their sins, which we could not do. And that's why it shows you cannot be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. You cannot be saved by keeping the law. Because if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all, James says. And if you're going to be saved by the law, you'd have to live a perfect, sinless life. And you'd have to be without sin. Since we're all born in sin, we can never be saved by the law because we're sinners already under condemnation. Oh, thank God for our substitute who bore, who bare our sins in his body on the tree. And we, being dead to sin, we were under condemnation. But, oh, after the loving kindness of God appeared, God, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Beloved, when that takes place, then believing will follow, and we'll believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. By whose stripes you're healed. Whose stripes you're healed. Oh, to know and understand the Lord Jesus Christ. To love Him as He should be loved. To obey Him. One thing we need to be taught early in our Christian life is that He is the Lord of glory. He is the Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. We are to call Him Master. And we are to follow Him. And the greatest enemy you have and I have is our own wickedness. Our unlawful desires. We desire things that are not acceptable to God when we follow those desires and we are rejecting His lordship over our life. And beloved, I'll say this, there's not an individual in this congregation who doesn't have trouble in those areas of unlawful desire. We all do. We have to deal with it. That's why Paul says to mortify the deeds of the body. Mortify, put them to death. Paul says, I buffet my body and I bring it under subjection. But getting back to the subject. Judgment, God's wrath against sin. See, sin doesn't, we don't get away with sin. God doesn't brush sin under the carpet and say, well, I'm going to take you to heaven. No. Sin must be dealt with. And God dealt with sin in the person of Jesus Christ on our behalf. That's what God wants us to grow into knowledge and to understand until we come more and more realizing we need the Lord every moment, that we have to live upon the Lord Jesus Christ who gave Himself for us, who saved us from the wrath to come. He says in Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sin flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Crying again in Isaiah 53:5, but He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. That's the good news. You say, what am I to do? There's one qualification. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And put your faith and trust in Him. It's a manifestation that God has worked in your heart, worked in your soul. You've been regenerated. You've been quickened by divine grace, and God has given you the ability, and then conversion is when God brings you forth to put your trust and faith in your substitute. Are you grateful for that? Paul says in Thessalonians, giving thanks to the Father for your election of God. Are we grateful that God has elected us? And Christ is our substitute. Oh, how we should be grateful every day. And as I see things going on in the world, beloved, and all the confusion, the chaos, and all the weapons of mass destruction that are in the world, they talk about on the news and how man can destroy each other in just a few moments of time. It teaches us one thing, that don't get our roots too deep in this world. We're not home. This is not our home. We're only passing through. We're pilgrims and strangers. It doesn't mean we can't enjoy the things God gives us. But don't, you know, Paul says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. What he's saying here, don't get so involved in the things of this world that all your affections is there. Your affection should be on things above. You should be thinking about the Lord, the glory, our home in glory. Oh, hallelujah. One day we'll be with the Lord. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more tears. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We shall be one in Christ. No more sin to deal with. No more disappointments. No more crying. No more loneliness. No more disagreeing with each other. We'll all be one. That'll be a miracle right there, Brother Dave. Amen. Even Roger and I agree then. And Bill and I will even agree then. And Brother Dave, we'll all agree with one another. We'll be one in Christ. What a blessing that will be. Now, as we think about this again, Calvary was outside the gate when Jesus suffered. That's the subject within itself. I'm going to read Hebrews 13:11. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought unto the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. They burned him without the camp, without outside the tabernacle. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. He bore that reproach. And we should be willing to bear his reproach in our Christian life. Not to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, but to confess him. He speaks about confessing him before men. Beloved, we should be willingly and grateful that we have the opportunity to witness for the Lord of glory of his greatness and love to our souls, and that we could suffer his reproach. Jesus said, if they've hated me, they'll hate you. It's nothing strange that the world all of a sudden is hating the Christians and things are going on in the world. It's an evidence of what's been there all the time. It's just now starting to be manifested. They're getting more brave and brave to go against Christians because we have a government which doesn't care. They're wicked too. They're following the evil one, Satan. Beloved, we must realize, Jesus says, the whole world lieth in the wicked one. It doesn't surprise me what the world is doing, what our government's doing, because they are under the influence of Satan, the evil one. Do you expect the wicked to do righteous? God just has been restraining America for so many years. Now he's taking his hands off America, taking his hands off the world, and the world is getting more wicked and wicked and wicked in the sense of manifestation of the wickedness of the heart is being seen. There's things being allowed today which you never would have even thought of years ago. It shows the depravity of man's heart. Christ says it's not what goes in that defiles a man, but what comes out of his heart defiles a man. We're seeing the defilement of the heart being manifested through governments of the whole world and through sin. Oh, beloved, there's no hope for this world except the Prince of Peace. There will be no peace in this world until the Prince of Peace comes. And it says in Hebrews 9:26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world, notice this, hath he appeared, Hebrews 9:26, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Who put away your sins? Jesus Christ. Why would there be no condemnation to you and I as believers? Because Christ, by his sacrifice, by bearing our sins in his body on the tree, put away our sins as far as the east is from the west, to be remembered no more. Hallelujah. You got something to be thankful for? Every evil thought, every evil lust, every evil deed we've ever committed was put away by the sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah, what a Savior. What does it say in the Scriptures? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Paul says the love of Christ constrains us. That's why we need to read the Scriptures, Brother Dave. We need to meditate upon these things. As we see God's love in his sacrifice, it will constrain us to love him. It will constrain us to be obedient. It will want us to get into the Word of God and to read more of this beautiful life of our Savior, to come to understanding of these things and to learn what the will of the Lord is, so we can be obedient in all things and serve the Lord. Oh, what a precious, precious Savior we serve. It goes on to say, and as it appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment. So Christ was once suffered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. When he appears the second time is the coming of the Lord, and he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's not coming to put away sin again. He done it once and for all. It's done away with. No more sacrifices for sin. No more sacrifice. One sacrifice. And he bore that almost 2,000 years ago. And the result of that, oh, the good news. Hallelujah. There's therefore now no condemnation. We're not going to be condemned with the world when he comes in his second coming. Why? Because we have his righteousness imputed to us. We'll be clothed with his righteousness. We'll stand complete in him. His obedience to the law, his obedience to keeping the Ten Commandments, he lived a sinless life. His obedience purchased our perfect righteousness before God. Now, why do we obey him? Not to be perfect, but because we love him. We love him. Don't abuse love. Don't abuse love. And it can be abused. We're not debtors to sin. We're debtors to the grace of God, Brother Dave. We're indebted to God for his goodness and mercy and choosing us and redeeming us and saving us and quickening us and bringing us to faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, and loving the Father and loving the things of God, bringing us into the church of the living God that we can worship together and go and be baptized into this baptistry here, go under the water showing our death with Christ, coming out of the water showing our resurrection with Christ. And by our profession of faith, we're saying we want to be identified with the people of God. Oh, what a joy that is to when God brings an individual to that point in their life. Paul says again, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then all the great verse we read earlier, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Why will we not come into condemnation? Because of your substitute. Bore our sins in his body on the tree. That's our hope. That's our hope. That's the reason we shouldn't fear being condemned in the end of time, because Jesus bore our wrath. He bore our judgment. He bore our sins. He suffered agony and he cried out on Calvary, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because of our sins, beloved. When he cries out, it's because of you and I. We're purged, as Paul says in Hebrews, from our sins. Our sins were put away once and for all. It says, never to be remembered no more in a judicial sense. No condemnation. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? What good news. What better news could a soul hear when God pronounces in his conscience, there is therefore no condemnation to you, because your substitute bore your sins in his body on the tree. Oh, that's the gospel. That's the good news. Oh, and only those who have been quickened by divine grace really come to understand and appreciate that. What does it say in Isaiah 53? There was no beauty in him. People look at the cross and say, oh, that don't appeal to me. That don't appeal to me. Atheist, well, I don't believe in that. That's foolishness. To the Greeks, to the Jews, one it was foolishness, and to the other it was a stumbling block. To them which are called, it's the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. Be grateful this morning that God has given you eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, there's no greater news than that. And in closing, I've brought this out, but I want to bring it out again. In our stead, it speaks about in Matthew, he died in our stead. He was our Savior, Matthew 1:21. He shall save his people from their sin. He's our sacrifice. He was sacrificed for us, Hebrews 9:26. He's our high priest, Hebrews 2:17 through 18. Which means he suffered as a substitute, a substitutionary sacrifice. Sacrifice viewed from the perspective of guilt. We're all guilty before God. We needed a sacrifice. Propitiation is viewed from wrath. We've been delivered from the wrath to come because of Jesus' sacrifice. Reconciliation from alienation. We were separated from God. Redemption from the bondage in terms of a ransom. Christ's sacrifice was a ransom price for our sins. Christ gave himself as a sacrificial offering. And we went through some of those verses. As I said earlier, propitiation means to pacify judicial wrath of God. No, God didn't sweep our sins under the rug. He provided a lamb. He provided his son. The picture of Abraham when he offered Isaac upon, he was going to bring the knife down and kill his son. It says in one area in the Hebrews that he knew that even if he killed his son, God could resurrect him from the dead. That's the faith he had in God. God sent his son. Knowing that when he died, when the wrath of God fell upon his son, when his son cried out, "It's finished," he gave his son the authority and the power to raise himself from the grave. Hallelujah. Our God is not dead. He's alive. And he reigns in glory, and he reigns in our hearts because of his propitiation for our sins. We were in bondage, and redemption has redeemed us from out of this bondage of Satan, and we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, and we've been translated into the kingdom of God, dear Son. Our thoughts and our minds are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We now think upon the things of God, not just upon this wicked, ungodly world that we live in. Redemption from sin. We've been redeemed from sin and from guilt's defilement, from the law's curse. Oh, thank God for that. He became a curse for us because cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He bore our sins in his body. He was called the curse of God. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Think about this. As Jesus hung there on Calvary, he was being cursed of God on our behalf. We'll never really fathom and understand the greatness of the love of Christ as we should. We were saved. We were redeemed from Satan's power. We were the servants of sin. Now we're the servants of righteousness. God broke the power of the nature that we have. We have the power now, but through the Holy Spirit, through the indwelling Christ, to overcome the old nature. Before, we was under the total dominating power of sin. We had no choice. We just went on in sin. Now, by the Holy Spirit living within us, dwelling within us, by the power of Christ who indwells us, we can say no to wickedness and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And since the Lord has offered himself a sacrifice, we have been released. We're free. We're free. Being free from sin, it says in Romans 6, but that word there, free, means justified. Being justified from sin, we've been acquitted. Never to be brought up against us again. Hallelujah. We've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 6:20 and verse 7:23, "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He bought us with his blood. We belong to him. You're not your own." But oh, how easy we forget that. We became bond slaves from sin to bond slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. We were, past tense, the servants of sin. Now we're bond slaves to the Lord. You belong to the Lord. If we are believers in Jesus Christ this morning, we are his property. We belong to him. That's why Paul says, "Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Yes, we can make decisions in this world. We can do things which are contrary to God's word. But that will bring another judgment upon us. And we'll be dealing with that later on, the judgment of the Father and chastisement. Now, judgment of the Father is not to condemn us, but to wean us from the things of this world. God chastises us in love, chastises us in his great wisdom and understanding, which we will see that as we get into that subject. I pray that this morning you'll look to the Lord, look to the Father, and thank him that Jesus is your substitute, that he bore our sins in his body on the tree. May we pray. Our gracious and loving Father, we thank you for our great substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and died and gave himself for us. We've been redeemed. We've been saved. Our sins have been put away. Our sins have been purged. As far as the east is from the west, be remembered no more against us in judgment, in judicial wrath. We are freed from that. And we're looking forward to the coming of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned like unto Jesus' body, that we should forever be with the Lord. Bless us now, Lord, in thy blessings, and we ask your blessing upon the message to encourage us and strengthen us and help us to be faithful to the one who loved us and died and gave himself for us. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. Does someone have a song in closing?